Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message. Well, praise the Lord, everyone. I want to thank the Facebook family, friends, and all you out there that miss our Wednesday night midweek Bible study. I want to thank and praise God that you have come to my living room to give tonight's study. And so I am so blessed that you are tuned in for our midweek Bible study. And so I'm going to go before the throne room of grace, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to deliver our message. Amen. Praise God. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful evening that you have given us, oh God. And Lord, I'm just praying, Lord, that you would give us all ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. As you can see here on the screen, I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, Comfort Us During This Affliction. Now, many of us right now are going through a hard time. Some of us financially, and some of us just not knowing when we will be released back into normalcy in our city, in our state, in our nation. But I'm here to let you know, for those that are being afflicted right now and those who are experiencing turmoil, especially in your heart, I need you to know that Jesus is the answer. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, we got one person saying amen, and that's Sister Yolanda right here. Praise God. And so let's read Isaiah 40, 1 through 2 together, and it reads, Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And I heard a preaching, very good video yesterday by Perry Stone, and one of the things that he mentioned, that the coronavirus that's really just almost designated on the West Coast and New York are the two areas that are very, very liberal. And that's another time for another topic, but just to let you know that this nation right now is in very much turmoil. So many people today are crying out for comfort, but don't know where to find it and how to receive it. And so there's people that are running to doctors. There's people that are calling friends and family. And God is saying, call upon me. Jesus is saying, call upon me. Why? Because the Lord comforts his people by reminding them of his promises, his attributes, and his love. And so let's look at some biblical principles this evening to see that we can draw comfort from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, number one, although situations constantly change, my friends, the Word of God stands forever. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 48 reads, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of our God stands forever. Saints of God, I'm just here to remind you that we grab comfort from the Word of God. God's Word is alive. It is forever settled in heaven. It's alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. And so God is our deliverer. God is our comfort. God is our all in all. Number two, like a shepherd, the Lord tends and he gathers and he carries and he gently leads his people. This is the great comfort that we can have as born-again believers, is that God leads us. I want to ask this question to all of you out there right now in your homes, right now watching this this video, this live feed, this Facebook message, if you want to call it that, is that as believers, the Lord did not this incident right now with the coronavirus, it did not take God as a blindside. In other words, he knows everything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the Lord saw this coming. But the question is, our hearts right now are being tested. And Isaiah 40:11 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are young with him. Praise God. God is looking out for our best interests. I hope you know that. God is going to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Thirdly, the greatness of God's power and knowledge are displayed in his creation. And so if you go to Isaiah 40 and 12, the word of God reads, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? You see, saints of God, the Lord has every answer, especially regarding this this pandemic that's taken place. And so Jesus, you need to understand, is sovereign over all the events of the earth. Once again, this did not take him by surprise. He saw this coming. And for us, we are to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Lean not to our own understanding and acknowledge him in all of our ways. And he will what? Direct our path. And so look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 40:21. And it reads, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Verse 22, it is he who sits on the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princesses to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. God is in total control. He spoke this whole entire world into existence. He created us. He knew us before we were ever conceived in our mother's womb. He knows your predicament. He knows right now what we're going through. I'm here to let you know that the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, the God of all mercy will take care of us. Let's look at our fifth principle this evening. He gives strength to those who are weary. I've had many calls right now, and there are people that are weary, people that don't know when this pandemic is going to end, and many are fearful. I have family members that won't even come out of their doors, and they stockpile food and things and won't even come out of their door. Why? Because they're operating in a spirit of fear. But God did not give us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. And so know that the Lord God Almighty is with us, and he will deliver us from this pandemic. And it's going to be soon and very soon. Look what Isaiah 40:29 says. It says, he gives power to the weak and those who have no might. He increases strength. This is where we get our strength, is from the Lord. For the Lord is our strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And many times throughout the Word of God, God mentions the eagle. Why does he mention the eagle? Well, it was several years ago. Yolanda and I, we were with Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, and we took a trip to Israel. And we came across a pastor from Brazil, and he taught a lesson there, and we were so profound in his delivery and the message that he brought. But one of the things that he identified in the Word of God was the eagle, and why God mentions the eagle, and how the eagle renews its strength. And one of the things that he shared was so profound is that an eagle can actually live to about 75 years of age. But after the first 25, 30 years, because it's a predator, the beak gets worn and the claws get worn, the feathers get worn. And so what that eagle does, it'll find a high mountain and it'll ascend up to the very top of that mountain. And whatever needs to fall off, he'll break it off. And then he waits. He waits for the things to grow back. And he didn't really give a time frame when those things would be, but that eagle will not fly down from that mountain until he was fully restored and renewed. And then he would take a leap of faith. And once he flew off that mountain, he would fly again like when he was a young eagle. And God gives that bird probably another 25 years until it has to die. But that's why God mentions the eagle, to renew. God is wanting us to renew our strength during this time. God wants you not to be weary. God doesn't want you to fret and to have anxiety and to fear. I believe God has ordained that we would all sit at his feet and just pray and seek his face, and for some to turn from their wicked ways. That God would renew you, that when President Trump says, go back now, go back to your churches, go back to work, that we would run to the house of God and say, praise God, we can come together in the unity of the faith. That's my desire. That's my goal. I miss church. I don't know about you, but praise God. God has given us this opportunity. He has given us these tools that we can use for such a time as this, that we can still strengthen one another. And so, saints, although the Apostle Paul endured great hardship and pain, he also experienced God's amazing comfort in the midst of suffering. In the short passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1 through 7, he uses the word comfort several times. And he describes the Lord as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction. Let's take a look at this right up here. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our what? Tribulation. This is a type of tribulation for some. For some that have never experienced this pandemic, it's a tribulation. But we as the believer know that Jesus said that in the last days we would see these things in Matthew 24, in Matthew 21, in Luke 21, in Revelation, that perilous times shall come. And Jesus said there will be wars and rumors of wars, and there would be famines and pestilence, and this is a type of pestilence. And so God said we would see these right before he returns. So for the believer, we should be comforted that God is soon to return. And I know there are many churches, they do not want to preach and teach the second coming of Christ, that he's about to return. But I truly believe that we are the generation that will see him. Can I get an amen? And so let's go to verse 5. And verse 5 says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. They suffered then, and we're suffering things now. or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Look at verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of this suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. What does all that mean? That means no matter what we go through right now, as long as we continue to honor the King, we honor our families, we honor our friends, we honor those around our life, God will get the glory from it. And there is a consolation, even in times like this, to walk steadfastly before Him. So my question is this: what is comfort? What is comfort? So the New Testament word comfort means to encourage or to come alongside. When Jesus was nearing the end of His earthly ministry, He promised to send another comforter who would be like Him. So the apostles were blessed. They tangibly could touch the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, look what tangibly touches our hearts and our soul and our mind. Look what John 14:16 says. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that you may abide forever." He will abide in us forever. And I'll remember the day I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was water baptized on a Monday. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost that following Sunday, and my life has not been the same since. But look what He says in verse 26 in the same chapter. He says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I have said unto you." And so we have now the great Comforter living inside us. There should be no room for fear and anxiety and stress and heartache. But we should be experiencing the joy of the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you have the Holy Spirit living within you, then the fruit of the Spirit will be exemplified through your walk. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. All these are attributes of the Holy Spirit of God. If these are not operating in your life, then you need to have a heart check and say, "Oh God, fix my heart, oh God, that I may walk in your ways." You see, saints, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and He walks alongside through life's challenges. He's always there. And when we need Him to lighten our load, quiet our fears, lift our spirits, ease our pain, or even invigorate us when we don't think we can take another step, He is there for us. He's there for you. Every aspect of our lives is included in the Holy Spirit's ministry. Although, saints of God, we may not feel His presence at times, He's always there. Number one, teaching, guiding, leading, strengthening, and encouraging us. In the 13 years of pastoring Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, I have seen tremendous growth in the saints of God. And many of you can call upon the name of the Lord, and He will bless you abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. But knowing that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, the greatest joy is this right up here. The Holy Spirit seals the believer. What does that mean? It's the evidence of our salvation is displayed by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, when you become born again, you are forever His. He has sealed you until the day of redemption. Maybe some of you are saying, "Well, where does that say, Pastor? And can you show me in the Word where it says that?" Absolutely. Look on the screen up here in Ephesians 1:11-14, and it reads, "In Him also we have obtained what? An inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." It was a counsel of God. It was His will that He would choose you We didn't choose him. He chose us. Look at this. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Praise God. Look at verse 13 here. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed you were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, this next verse of scripture in verse 14, this is a guarantee. This is not like a product you can take to Walmart and say, hey, this has a guarantee, and then, oh, I'm sorry, it expired. You missed it by a day. No, look at this. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? God has sealed us with this Holy Spirit of promise. So why are we fretting? Why are we afraid? Listen, Paul said it many times, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Saints of God, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid when it's my time. If he says, come, it's time for me to go. But I truly believe that God has so much more for you and for me before he returns. And this is why we don't need to walk in fear. We don't need to walk with anxiety, because we know that God is in total control. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Saints, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, God makes us as his children by putting his unbreakable seal on us. Praise God. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell and work within us, enabling us to become fruitful and accomplish whatever the Lord has in mind. We may not be able, saints of God, to change our difficult situations, but the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our lives remains constant. He knows exactly what God wants to produce in us and what we need in order to persevere and learn from it. What can we learn from this pandemic? I know one thing I'm learning. I'm learning that it's not so bad to be alone. Yes, I have my wife and I have my two little dogs, but man, to be confined, God is teaching me something. He's teaching me to trust him. He is teaching me a closer walk with him. He is teaching me to have devotional time with him. What is God doing with you right now? That's the question. And so, what is the source of our comfort? What is the source of our comfort? Well, saints, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, number one, is the comforter. He not only has the power to change our circumstances, but he can also give us the strength to endure them. He's put a limit on what he allows us to suffer, and he promises that he will not let us be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. Saints of God, this too shall pass. Hang in there. God is going to deliver us from this. And yes, are we going to see other things approaching and coming upon our nation and the earth? Yes, but God has equipped us to know that he's able to keep us. He's able to sustain us. He's able to bless our life. Can I get an amen? Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he can stand take heed lest he fall. This is why we need the Lord. No temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. If you're at home, say that with me. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise God. God is going to see us through this, saints of God. Furthermore, saints, he's promised to work out everything for our good. If we love him and we are called according to his purpose, he will work out all things. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I have scripture to back that up. It's right here in Romans 8:28. Look at this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? His purpose. So saints, he's omniscient. He knows exactly what we need to become the person he wants us to be, even in these difficult times. And when you are hurting, when we're hurting, he gives us God's genuine, lasting comfort, the peace that surpasses all understanding. We may not have a choice regarding the difficulties that come into our lives, especially right now, but we can decide how to respond. That's the question. How do you respond to something like this? Nothing, saints of God, can touch us apart from God's permission. And we know that his reasons for allowing suffering are good. This is good for me. Oh, yes. Yeah, I want to be out and about. Yeah, I would rather give this message at church. But he's teaching me something. I'm hoping God is teaching you something, saints of God. His goal is to produce godliness in us, increase our faith in him, and make us useful for his kingdom. And when you and I learn to trust him and depend on the Spirit's power to go through the fire, we'll come out polished and reflecting the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you want to be polished like the Lord? Come on. I know some of you are raising your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So my next question is this. How does God comfort us? How does he do it? You see, saints of God, no matter what form our suffering takes, the wisest response is to immediately turn to the Word of God. God has the answers. I hope you know that. Oh, yes, he does. He has the answers. But that is often the last thing we want to do when we're overwhelmed with difficulties. That's right. Some people just don't know how to open up the Word of God and to start learning his attributes, learning how he loves us, learn how he will take care of us. Too often we'd rather seek out our friends, but their knowledge and ability to comfort us are very limited. In contrast, saints of God, eternal truth, knowledge, and wisdom are found in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Look what King David wrote in the book of Psalms. Remember the word to your servant upon to which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. It's God's word. The word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to reach down into the bone and marrow. Some of you right now are going through some difficult financial situations. Some of you have downsized. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you had to go to unemployment. But I'm here to let you know that when God allows a door to be closed, he will open up a new door, especially for the saints of God. Can I get an amen? This is a time to say, thank you, God. Thank you for that job. Thank you for the length of that. Thank you for that income. And now you got something better for me. You got to believe that. I believe that. I remember my life. I remember when I worked in the lumber yard. And I used to say to myself before I even knew Christ, oh, God, am I going to work this hard labor like this all my life? Is this my destiny? This before I knew the Lord. There used to be an old man named Hoyle, hunchback, walked around all splintered up and could barely speak. And I used to say to myself, man, is that what awaits me? Little did I know that when they laid off all the grandfathered people, what do I mean by that? The people that were making the top dollar, they wanted to bring in the cheap labor. And so they laid us all off. And that whole time that I was collecting unemployment, God had another door that he was going to open in my life. Praise God. He opened a door of real estate to allow me to go in and become a professional in the real estate industry. I'm a broker and I have agents working for me. That's but the grace of God. That's God's glory. So whatever he allows to be taken away, or whatever's taken away from you, he has something better. You got to believe that. Can I get an amen? So now, saints of God, how? How can we find comforting scripture verses? Number one, we're going to go through some principles now, is read the Bible daily. Some of you need to establish a devotional time with God. Some of you really need to just hunker down and say, man, I'm confined to this home, and so I have no other choice. Come on, turn off the news. It's the same news every day. Get into God's word. Dig into the depths and the riches of his word. And the best way to prepare for trouble is to make scripture reading a regular part of each day, saints of God. As we become more familiar with God's word, we'll know where to look when we need comfort and encouragement. King David understood this. This is why he wrote down the Psalms. Look at this right here. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Praise God. And the prophet Isaiah wrote this. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. You need to make this personal now, saints. God is saying, I am with you. Be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And for many of you, you need to take that comfort. You need to be reassured that God is with us. God is with you. And he will see you through this pandemic, what's going on across the world. We think it's just our nation. No. In Italy, my goodness, I read today, 600 people are being incinerated every day. I want to thank and praise God first and foremost. I know you hate him. Some of you do. But I love our president. And I'm so thankful that he shut the borders back in January to not allow that thing to come in abundance. And praise God that the statistics of people that have died with this in our nation is very minute. And so, no, we don't glory in someone dying. No. We pray for their families, and we pray that God will strengthen them. But it could have been worse. And praise God. I heard yesterday, and just pray. Keep on praying. Are you praying? Pray, pray, pray. Because I believe what the president said is that we may go back to work and go back to our churches by Easter Sunday. So make that your prayer. Say, God, if you have given him a vision, if you have given him a desire, if he knows something that we don't, then praise God. Then we can be released back into society so that we could be a blessing to those who need Jesus. Can I get an amen? And so what we need to do is, you and I on a daily basis, is ask God for help. Ask God to help you. And he will. He will. Yes, a friend, a family member, our parents, our grandparents. Yeah, they can help you. But they can only help you to an extent. God can help you in all your situations and every need that you may need at this point in time. Saints, in the times when we don't know where to turn, we can ask the Holy Spirit to guide us to a passage that will speak to our need. Since he is the author and the finisher of our faith, he knows exactly what promises will encourage us and what instructions will help us. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Look what King David wrote in Psalms 46. He wrote this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Say that with me. We will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams that shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God. You see, the greatest comfort that you and I can have is that God has gone away and has been 2,000 years to prepare a place for us. Man, I can't wait to see what he has prepared for you and what he has prepared for me. Listen, I've been blessed. I've been on these real estate tours to Rancho Santa Fe. I've seen the $40 million homes. I've seen all the amenities with the horse stables and the basketball courts and swimming pools that are in the living room that go out into the open air. I've seen all that. I've seen the 80-inch televisions mounted in the toilets. Oh, yeah. I've seen all those things. But what God has prepared for you and I, according to the King James vernacular, Rancho Santa Fe in all of its glory and all of its riches, it's a dunghill compared to the things that God has prepared for you and I. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see what He's prepared for us. It's going to be so glorious, and it's not going to be made by human hands. Thank you, God. You see, saints, we can ask Him to show us the next step and reveal what He wants to accomplish in our lives. The Lord delights in speaking personally to us through His Word. And when we come to Him as children seeking guidance and comforts, He will have all the answers. Can I get an amen? Listen, one of the things that I've been trying to do for the past 31 years is this right up here. Is choose to memorize God's word and hide it in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart. Have you ever been asked this question? How can I be right before God on a daily basis? Now, we are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, water baptized in Jesus' name. We are heavenly bound, and there's a hell to shun. But on a daily basis, King David wrote it perfectly. Look what he wrote up here in Psalms 119. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden. That's the key. I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Right now, there's people, even believers, that somehow fall into sin. And one of the things that they have abandoned the Word of God. You see, the Word of God comes to restore. He comes to lift up, but He also comes to convict. And praise God, the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn. You see, the devil, old Slewfoot, he will just condemn you all day long. But God won't condemn us. He will convict us that we would run to the cross and get right with Him. Can I get an amen? Because the Lord delights in speaking personally to us through His word. And so King David went on in verse 12 and he wrote, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes," meaning, God, your word, teach me. "With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your youth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." Verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts," meaning I will regard your word and I will esteem it high above my own thoughts, above my own motives, above my own heart, and contemplate your ways. "I will delight myself in your statutes, and I will not forget your word." That's what happens to some folks. They forget all about what God has done in their lives. And when turmoil comes, when trials come, they forget about what God has done. And they will leave and walk away and go and wallow into all kinds of wickedness. I'm dealing with some folks right now that need God right now. I bet there's people in your life right now that need God right now. And so the only thing that you and I can give them is, yes, sound counsel, but ultimately the Word of God. Can I get an amen? Look at this. You have to believe that God does care for us. How many believe that God cares? Do you truly believe that God cares for you? Oh, yes, He does. Look, in the midst of this pandemic, you have everything in your household that you need. You have food. Probably more than enough toilet paper. But you have all these things, don't you? That keeps us going as we await for this pandemic to be lifted. But God is sustaining you. He's sustaining me. And you need to understand that whatever God's will is for our life, that we are to say yes and amen, Lord. No matter what happens, I'm going to follow you. And so God is saying, I care for you. You need to understand that, saints of God, that God cares for us. Can I get an amen? King David understood this. And this man, I read, you know, when you read his life, you know that he had a heart after God. But man, this guy would just stumble into things that he shouldn't have stumbled into, but he still did them. But one thing about King David, he knew the only way to get right with him was to come with a repentant heart. But God is saying, cast all your cares. This is what he wrote down in Psalms 55. Look at this. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall what? Sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. No matter what comes our way, God has situated you in his hands. You are fine and doing well in his hands. Can I get an amen? But Peter wrote this. The key for us, even the times like this, is therefore. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This is a time not to be proud. This is not time to be fearful. This is a time to be humble. Can I get amen? And many of us have been humbled by this. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in what? Due time. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, old Slewfoot, old the devil himself, he's our adversary, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so, this is what he wants to do, saints of God, the enemy. In times like this, he will look for weaknesses. He will look for the weakest link in the chain and go after it and devour it. You ever seen the animal channels and the lions and the tigers and those that go after, you know, their prey? 90% of the time, they don't go after the adults. They go after the little fawns, the little bucks, the little colts, the little deer, the little buffalo. Why? It's easy prey. They're the weakest of the link. And so if they can get that little one away from mom and dad, they have lunch. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to go after the weakest ones in the body of Christ to turn your hearts away from the Lord. That you would not trust God, but you would trust in other things. So the Bible says in verse 9, look at this. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith. In other words, be bold in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everywhere in this world right now is suffering from this pandemic. Everyone. Everyone's experienced this, not just us, not just San Diego, not just California, not just New York, but the whole world. But may the God of grace, say that with me, God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, and strengthen you and settle you. You see, a lot of times we have to go through and be reminded that we're still humans living in this sinful body, and we're going to experience some things that we don't like. But let it be good for us. Why? Because then God will settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so one of the things that I have found out in 31 years of serving the Lord is this right up here. God will stick closer than a brother. Oh, yeah. Some of your kids may have abandoned you. Some people's spouses just walk out of nowhere on them. Well, without even giving a notice, gone. Parents will abandon their kids, especially if they were part of a different religion. And then maybe the son or daughter gave their heart to Jesus and now they're abandoned. But I'm here to let you know, Jesus will stick closer than a brother with us. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes, he will. Look what it says in Proverbs right up here. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul, who I believe wrote the book of Hebrews, he wrote this. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things that you have. Right now, we need to be content. We need to let this thing play out. We need to be prayerful. We need to seek the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind. We need to continue to pray for one another, pray for the church, pray for your leaders and pastors, pray for your children, pray for everyone. Be content with such things you have. For he himself has said, I will what? Never leave you, nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord. Say that with me. Those of you who are online right now. The Lord is my helper. I will what? Not fear. What can man do to me? This coronavirus, I call it the Yorona virus. It was man-made. We know that. It came out of China. But God will destroy it. God in his power and his might will destroy this thing, but he's allowing us to go through some things right now. And I believe he wants the church to knit together strongly so that when we come together again, we're going to come together in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe God is reminding us that what's more important to God right now is souls being saved and won to the kingdom of God. Why? Because he's coming soon. He's coming again. And I want to be ready. How many of you want to be ready? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So in closing, saints, Jesus, he will comfort us. You got to believe that. He will comfort us. That's right. Yes, he will. And we can take joy in Thessalonians, because normally we would be in the book of Thessalonians chapter 2, but I felt God said, just give a message tonight. Wednesday night is our book, chapter and verse, and we do a systematic line by line, precept upon precept. And tonight I'm just being obedient to God that we would bring a message of hope to those who need hope. Those who need a word, those who need to be strengthened, those who need to be lifted up, that God can do all things through Christ who strengthens them. Can I get amen? And so I'm going to close with 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it reads in verse 7, therefore, brethren, in all of our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. God is saying, be strong. Be strong in your faith. Don't allow what's happening right now in this world shaking you. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord, for what things can we render to God for you, for all the joy with we rejoice for your sake before our God. You see, when Paul was writing this letter, this man was beaten. He was in prison. He was thrown out of a two-story building. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by snakes. He was beaten with metal rods. And yet, he persevered. He stood because he knew his calling in life. He was a persecutor of the church. He hated the church of God. He was the original drive-by. He would apprehend Christians and throw them to the lions and the arenas of the gladiators during that time. But God got a hold of his heart. And this man was very intellectual. This man was from the line of Benjamin. It was one of the highest sects of Judaism. But yet God saw that I could use him. Saints of God, God has called you because he wants to use you for such a time as this. Verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly, that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. God is saying, pray, 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 pray. And whatever is lacking, God will replace it. And God will strengthen your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another, to all, just as we do to you. Saints of God, we need to continue to have the love of God for one another. When's the last time you called your brother and sister from your church and say, hey, how you doing? Is everything okay? How are you holding up? Is there something that you need that you couldn't find in the stores? Maybe some of you've got rolls and rolls and rolls of things. Maybe you can extend a hand out to someone right now that's in need, especially a brother and a sister in the church that maybe just doesn't have enough right now to get by. If the Lord's put it on your heart, call them. Hey, how you doing? Lord spoke to me. Hey, do you need this? I'm going to believe that God will make things appear in your cupboards when you care for someone else. Can I get amen? And so the last verse of scripture is, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. You see, God is soon to take his church home, and we're going to come back with him. And I can't wait for that marvelous day. Yeah, I'm a pre-tribber. That's right. I believe that he's going to rapture us before the tribulation. And so these are the times that I really am excited, because I believe we are the generation that's going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Hang in there, saints of God. I hope this message has blessed your hearts and your minds. But maybe you're one of my Facebook friends, and just maybe you've logged in for the first time and you never heard a message regarding hope that God can save you. I'm here to let you know, my friend, that God does love you. He does care for you, and he does want to save you. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity right now. Come on, don't turn off the phone right now. Hear me out. God has ordained this hour for such a time as this. For what's happening in the world right now, he's saying, do not fear the things that you see, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity right now. Listen, those that are at home right now, they're praying for you right now. Many of you right now are in so much turmoil, you don't know where to turn to. Well, God is saying, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is there for you right now. And by faith, if you cry out to him, he will come upon you and change you from the inside out. That's what God's done for me. That's what he wants to do for you. And so if you've never prayed, pray with us. I just want you to know that the prayer, it's not mystical or magical. The prayer does not save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that will save you. Prayer is a tool that God has given sinful mankind here on earth to communicate with the Holy God. And so if you're listening right now, you're about ready to turn off the button and say, I'm going to go do something else. This is your moment. So bow your head and your heart right now and pray this prayer with me and watch God do the miraculous right now in your life. Pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I am so happy for each and every one of you that has prayed this prayer by faith, and maybe it was your first time. Well, I want to encourage you to acquire a Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, when our churches open up again at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, we will give you a Bible. And we want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you've never been baptized in water. We'd love to baptize you in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And so I just want to say I love you guys, those of you who are faithful to the ministry of God, have been faithful to Amazing Grace. I want to say I love you guys, and I hope to see you, all of you, face to face soon and very soon. We love you. God bless you. And we look forward to another message Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now. The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.